Is there anything else you can remember? I know you're seeing the whole works, the whole place from a totally different angle, really, to, you know, us who went through our apprenticeship. Is there anything else that sort of sticks out in your memory about the, you know, the actual buildings, the factory? I mean, there were about 700 of us working there when you and I were there. Awful lot of people.
I mean, to me, sort of coming straight from school, the culture change was massive. I mean, I think one of the biggest ones was really a 15 year old and being quite praised up for my rugby at school, suddenly being thrown into the fielding's team and getting totally trampled on. So I think that woke me up straight away, I think. But no, I mean the factory to me was just huge, and of course it went over the road as well eventually, didn't it? You know, and to see the old steam trains chogging up and down, pulling their stuff outside from the docks as well was quite good for me, because I was quite keen on the steam engines and that type of thing. But I think the earliest memories I would have was a game from the party. And I always remember going from the big room at the top, where I think everybody used to have their lunch and dinner, which was where the party was held, and trying to find the toilets, to be honest, from there. And all I remember is that I got lost. And all I can remember was green lights, huge green lights, big machinery, is very, very hot, and the machinery was still working, so there was noise, heat, this green light, and me getting lost in the middle of it, and it frightened me to death. So that was one of my earliest memories of fieldings, I think.
The route down to the toilets, I suppose, was there weren't any very close to the canteen, so you had a fair walk to get there. Those toilets had lots of memorable features about them, but I'd maybe not go into them.
Hasten to say, I was only there for a wee while.
Okay, so, you know, you as I say, you've got a totally different outlook on the place to the rest of us. What time did you have to start work? Because I think we started about 7:30 in the morning. Were you on office hours? Was that later?
Yeah, we were on office hours. We had to clock in and clock out like everybody else. We also worked Saturday mornings, most Saturday mornings. But the week was extended because part of the apprenticeship that I had to do involved the sitting guilds, like a lot of the engineers. So I had a day release to do at the College Art and Design here in Gloucester. And then I did two nights a week also at the same place as part of the training and development. Because we had to, because it was as it was in those days, of course, photography included physics and chemistry and maths and all sorts of things to pull it all together. So there was it was quite involved, and you had to do your exams, and you had to sort of keep up with the technology then. Yeah. So yeah, it was quite an interesting, but quite time consuming actually. Yeah. So I started at 15, I suppose, the early days. My official start date was at 16, because I couldn't start my apprenticeship officially until 16, and then went on to 21, and things changed quite rapidly then, because I think I started my apprenticeship and then on £2.50 a week, 50 shillings it was then, finished on 12 shillings and what would it be, 10 bob. And then got made redundant. So when the factory was sort of starting to close, you know, so it was a long time, a lot of hard work, very little money, and no reward at the end of it.
Well, I think you and I were made redundant in the same batch, which was the first batch of, they got rid of all us youngsters, call us youngsters, you know, at the age of, I think I was maybe 22 or 23 when I left. But the training, etc., did me good, and it hopefully it gave you a really good insight into everything, really. Commerce, you know, practical things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you look at the range of skills, I think that people benefited from, and we must remember, when we look back, sort of what is a good number of years now with respect to us both, apprenticeships. I mean, we are desperate for apprentices now, looking at, you know, all these years later. And, you know, what's been discovered is there's no real better way of bringing people into the workplace, giving them opportunities to develop and to learn skills and to go forward with a career with that under their belt. And, you know, I was fortunate to find a job within 2 weeks. I was offered, because of the training that I'd had, the apprenticeship and the examinations that I took, I was offered a job as a photographer at the nuclear research laboratories in Barclay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was there doing scientific and industrial work for a couple of years there before I changed again.
It's interesting to see where we all went after Fieldings. And so you worked down there. What were you actually photographing then? Actually stuff in the laboratories, or did you travel around the, you know, the industry?
It was a mixture of things, really. Some of it was very, very interesting, and it involved the work that the scientists were doing, micro stuff, really, down to sort of atoms almost, and also in the actual nuclear plant itself, machinery and equipment there, and some of it was radioactive. So I didn't stop there too long, to be honest. I was feeling quite warm one day, and I thought it was time to leave. But no, it was absolutely fascinating, and I also qualified to the Royal Photographic Society at the same time. So it further helped from that point of view to put things together, and it was just really another piece of the machinery that went onto my CV. So it's good. Yeah, enjoyed it.
So it sounds like you carried on with photography for a while. You're shaking your head now. So what? Go on then. What happened after that? Because I can. We're sitting in your office now, so I know what you're doing now. Is what was in between?
Right. It was photographing. Who was then John Graham of R.E. Graham and Sons house, actually in Stroud Road. I was just across the road trying to buy my first house, and I bought a shell, and I was working on that with my uncle to try and get that together. And John was across the road, also in Stroud Road, doing his, and he asked me if I'd photograph it. And as a result of that, he brought me into his company to do the photographic work, particularly again as colour was sort of fairly new. And photography in an estate agency was hardly heard of. So I joined and became an associate partner there within a few years. Amongst all that, we were starting then to sell new homes for two guys called Bob and John Joyner. And we did the first development down in Church Road in Quedgeley, and a couple elsewhere. And they were the originators of Westbury Homes PLC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And within a short space of time, they offered me a position there, and I eventually became their sales director. Mm-hmm. So I was there for 10 years, and learned an awful lot about house building, and did developments across the southwest and the north, and the also the forest. There's about 13 developments I did in Gloucester, and then eventually Westbury Homes got taken over by Persimmon. And it was at that stage that I opened the estate agency here. That was 25 years ago.
Wow.
Carol and I have been here ever since on that one. But also I got co-opted and asked to be a local councillor, which I resisted for a long time, but felt that I could probably, you know, or hoped that I could help in some way with Gloucester and what was happening with regeneration and all the things that, you know, I'm quite passionate about the city. And within a year of being elected, I was asked to join the city's cabinet. So I was made a cabinet member for housing, health and leisure, and last year co-opted to the local government agency in London, Board for Culture and Tourism and Sport. And now my cabinet position has been changed to housing and planning. So that's my, if you like, with the other hat on, that's my city responsibilities and my national responsibilities with regards to the other side. Yeah. So world has changed quite dramatically.
Yeah, okay, Colin, you've reminded me with your councillor hat on that the last time we met was when the blue plaques were unveiled in what is now the Keys. And I believe you were involved in that. Can you, you know, tell us a bit more about those?
Yeah, I mean, what we were all, I think, very, very keen to do was to make sure that where Fieldings was actually positioned originally was never forgotten. I think you quite rightly said there's 700 people worked there. It was there for a very, very long time. So we had a word with Ollie in the archives, and we worked out as best we could where these plaques, there was two of them in actual fact that I managed to get, were going to be placed as near as we could so that we could have something there which would provide us with a nice legacy. They were done in blue and put up, and we had a lovely reception. Lots of people from Fieldings came. I managed to persuade the council to let us have the civic suite as well for some, you know, everybody to meet and have some drinks and eats and everything else. So yeah, I just felt it was a very, very important thing to do for Fieldings so that people remembered.
Yeah, they are very good, and they're very useful to have there to remind us all and remind all the thousands of visitors that go there every year just what used to happen. So, yeah, that's great. Well, thanks very much, Colin. And it's interesting to hear not just what you did at Fieldings, but what you've done after that, because that's what we're all about. You know, Fieldings was really the start of our careers, and I think pointed us in the right direction.
Absolutely.
So thanks very much, Colin.
Pleasure. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you.